This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. President Bush has suggested he wants voters this fall to judge him in a way they haven't judged a president for a generation, as a wartime leader. The White House has made it clear it considers the war on terrorism to be far from over. And here's how the president described himself during a recent interview on NBC's Meet the Press.
I'm a war president. I make decisions here in the Oval Office in foreign policy matters with war on my mind.
Since President Bush is running as a leader directing a war effort, we asked Slate contributor and history professor David Greenberg for a history lesson on how much that image has helped or hurt past presidents.
When we think about Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War or Franklin D. Roosevelt during World War II, we impart to them a heroic aura. We imagine Americans muting political rivalries and rallying behind the president and the war at hand. Few citizens, we suppose, could have opposed these valiant leaders. But serving as president during wartime has in fact been a mixed blessing, and certainly no guarantee of re-election. Lincoln and FDR were indeed re-elected, but not as easily as you'd think. When FDR sought his fourth term in 1944, the United States and the Allied powers already seemed destined to defeat Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. Yet bloody combat continued across Europe and the Pacific. And once re-elected, Roosevelt tried to find a lesson in all the carnage.
We have learned that we cannot live alone, at peace, that our own well-being is dependent on the well-being of other nations far away.
But the fact that the world's fate hung in the balance didn't guarantee a Roosevelt cakewalk. It certainly helped FDR that the public approved of his wartime leadership. But probably more important was the robust prosperity that the country was finally enjoying. In fact, FDR focused his campaign on an economic bill of rights that promised, among other things, 60 million jobs. Although he was re-elected comfortably, he won fewer electoral votes in 1944 than in his previous three victories. Mr. Bush might also hope to create an aura like that of Abraham Lincoln, who is remembered today for holding the Union together during dark times. But Lincoln did not have an easy road to re-election either, or even to renomination. In early 1864, victory for the North seemed elusive after once appearing to be a sure thing. Some Republicans wanted to replace Lincoln on the GOP ticket with a more passionately anti-slavery candidate. The Democrats, for their part, nominated the disgruntled General George B. McClellan, whom Lincoln had fired as head of the Union Army. For much of the summer of 1864, many people, including Lincoln, expected McClellan to win. But a sudden series of Union victories, including Sherman's conquest of Atlanta, turned the tide. Lincoln won in November with 55% of the vote. Presidents who waged more remote and less popular wars, such as Harry Truman and Lyndon Johnson, have actually found wartime leadership a liability. Truman was never more disliked than in 1952, during the middle of a conflict that had begun with public support but had become a gory standoff.
As we meet here today, American soldiers are fighting a bitter campaign in Korea. We pay tribute to their courage, devotion, and gallantry.
In April 1952, Truman announced that he wouldn't seek re-election. If he had run, it's almost impossible to imagine that he would have defeated General Dwight Eisenhower, who campaigned as a man of peace. Lyndon Johnson faced a similar predicament. By 1968, the national unity that he had enjoyed in 1964, when he first escalated the Vietnam War, had long since dissipated. Half of all Americans had come to think of the war as a mistake. In January of 1968, the Viet Cong's Tet Offensive represented a crushing psychological defeat for the United States and South Vietnam, even though in strictly military terms they came out ahead. After Tet, domestic opposition to the war mushroomed. Just as Korea had become Truman's war, Vietnam became Johnson's war. Senator Eugene McCarthy's strong second-place finish in the New Hampshire primary helped convince Johnson to make this announcement in late March.
I shall not seek, and I will not accept, the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
George Bush is more popular than either Johnson or Truman was in his final year in office. The occupation of Iraq, for all its headaches, hasn't become the national migraine that Korea was in 1952 or Vietnam was in 1968. but the experience of these presidents may still be relevant. Although Americans will rally behind military actions, their appetite for such adventures is fickle and has to be watched carefully. Presidents who can't detect a shift in the prevailing mood and who can't assure the public that they're eager to deliver peace may quickly squander the vast capital they reaped from having gone to war.
Slate contributor David Greenberg teaches history at Yale and is the author of Nixon's Shadow, The History of an Image.